Livewire with Phil Richards.
Hi, it's Phil Richards and welcome to Livewire. And today I'm chatting with Dave Wakeling, who heads the beat into a new 20-day UK tour soon. Dave, welcome to Livewire.
How are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for joining us on Livewire. And you're just about to embark on a tour coming up very soon. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But let's just, chat about yourself and the band, because you go back to 79 when you first began. And we had that lovely cover version of that classic Motown number, Tears of a Clown, and you did such a great take on that. It was so unusual. I mean, how did that come about? What was the inspiration there?
Well, it was an odd start, to be honest. We were practicing our own songs and we'd get it sounding great for a minute or two, then we'd all veer off in our own style, and then it'd come back for a minute, this little ellipse, a pocket of sound that we couldn't keep it there. And so Everett, the drummer, said, why don't we all learn a song that we all know and play that next Tuesday, and then we can play one of your weird ones like that Mirror song. So
yeah,
it didn't come quickly, but we all found Tears of a Clown was a song we knew, or we thought we knew. It actually turns out to be quite a complicated set of chords that Andy Cox learned. I never learned all of them. In the process, we ended up practicing Tears of a Clown a bit more than any of our own tunes, probably. We got quite good at it, our version at least. So as soon as we had 8 songs, David Steele said, that's enough to be able to do a concert. So we did, and everywhere we went, Tears of a Clown went down well. So when we got the chance of doing a single, and it was going to be at Christmas time, and our album wasn't going to be coming out till the next year, we said, why don't we do Tears of a Clown? And we did, and it became a hit. And half of our friends loved us for it, and the other half could have scratched our eyes at. And so it worked out well in the end.
And then you moved on to some albums, and you had I Just Can't Stop It and some other things. Tell us about those.
Well, the first album, we just seemed to have hit single after hit single. And even when the group was splitting up some years later, they re-released Can't Get Used to Losing You as a single. And that got to number 3 in the charts. So we ended up with 6 or 7 top 20 or top 30 hits on that first album. And that was a bit hard to follow, as you could imagine. So our second album, Whoppin', the Jamaican Birmingham slang for how's things, what's going on, that was a bit more introspective and sounds fantastic on headphones, but it's nowhere near as immediate as the first one, so it didn't do quite as well. We still had a few hits. Doors of Your Heart did nicely. There was a good song called Get a Job that sadly the lyrics could be still written about today. There's a training course where girls and boys of real ambition get a new job in a factory where they're making ammunition. It's a shame that we've not got past that, really. And then the third record, Special Beat Service, which we were recording at the time of the Falklands War, Las Malvinas, as it's called over here. And that was an odd time in history as well, and to be making a record. And we'd been touring a lot in America and had been played quite a lot on the radio in America, and our sound was starting to get bigger and almost American radio sounding. And so the third record was sort of big and wide stereo and did very well in America, but didn't do as well in England. Did quite well other places too, but we'd had our 15 minutes really in England in terms of fashion and music combined, and the stance of gritty working class pop musicians wearing the same clothes as the audience, and that had given way to new romantics.
It's great that you made it in America, in the States, because not every band does that, do they?
No, sometimes you can be a bit too English to translate. And there's bands, well, I won't mention, who are of much bigger stature than us in England, but not so much over here, sometimes because the lyrics particularly are dense for an American crowd, especially if there's a lot of rhyming slang or something like that. People get lost and scared. But I don't know. I'd always been a fan of American music, particularly Motown, and some of the stuff in the 70s, singers like Tim Buckley, even Van Morrison, although he was Irish, he had a very American sound to his albums. And maybe it was some of that. I don't know. I'm not sure. But we did seem to click initially with the college audience.
You did a lot of touring, didn't you, with bands like The Police and The Clash and The Pretenders, R.E.M., Talking Heads, David Bowie as well, the great late David Bowie.
Yeah, we were a very popular opening act because we could get the crowd really jolly and ready and open, waiting for the main act, their heroes. But we could do it in a way that was kind of non-competitive. We weren't trying to steal anybody's thunder or blow anybody off stage. There's quite a lot of corniness in concerts, but we managed to avoid all that so that they all said how open and ready the crowd was from the first number. You didn't have to work to get the crowd up and ready. That was a constant compliment we got, which was nice. But then you sometimes wonder, well, that's a fantastic set of bands to have worked with. How come you never got to be the headliner with them?
You led the band. Who's in the lineup nowadays?
Well, to be honest, we're going through a bit of a change at the moment. I have a fella called Fritz Czar, who plays the drums. I've got a player called Esteban Flores playing keyboards. There's no, like, Dave Smiths. Not many of any English names. Even though the band's called The English Beat. Matt Morrish, he plays the saxophone. Anthony First Class is his stage name, but Anthony Dunn, who's English of Jamaican extraction, he does the toasting. And my daughter, Chloe, has been singing. She was doing it before the pandemic, but she took a break because she didn't want to have the vaccination. But she's back on now singing, and she makes it sound like the full set again. It's lovely.
Right, now your last tour was in 22. I mean, that was a sellout. You're looking forward now to a new tour. You're just about to start a 20-day UK tour. Sounds great. You're looking forward to that, apparently.
I am looking forward to it, yes. And it's become a bit of a annual tradition to me now. Oh, yes, I like to go to the UK for June if I can, you know, if it's affordable. And doing concerts makes a holiday much more affordable. You know, a month on a bus tour of England and Ireland, Wales, Scotland. And most Junes now have been quite nice. I remember them being wetter. But can be nice. Yes. We've been very lucky. So far, we've done a June tour the couple of years before the pandemic and since. So, and last year went extremely well. We've moved up a size of venue here, there and everywhere, and the tickets seem to be going well for that too. I think music that cheers people up, or has an uplifting beat to it at least, from a distance, is popular and valuable at the moment. We're finding that here in America. A lot of shows are selling out, and we're adding second shows. People are enjoying getting back together again, and they're enjoying having an optimistic feel about life, even though sometimes the lyrics can touch upon some of the more darker social stuff that we're going through. One of the exciting additions we've got for the tour is Annabella and Bow Wow Wow are going to be the opening band for the whole tour. I've quite often had like local ska bands the last few times, but we thought we'd change it up and give it a bit of an 80s flavour. And we did some shows together last year, and she was just fantastic. And so I invited her, and she'll be a part of the tour.
It's going to go down really well, I'm sure. So, right, well, thank you very much for joining us. What's your social media details? Have you got those?
Yes, well, there's a website, englishbeat.net, and there's an English Beat Facebook page, which is quite active and popular, and there's also a Twitter page. And there's also me, Dave Wakeling, on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you write somewhat funny and clever enough, I usually write back.
Right. Now, we're going to finish by playing your own selected request of one of your own tracks. So what's it going to be?
Mirror in the Bathroom. It's a quirky song. I was going to work on the building site. I'd had a couple of Guinnesses the night before. I'd forgotten to hang my clothes up to dry them. So I was faced with having to have a shower and then get into the wet clothes, get on the motorbike and go to work. And I started talking to myself in the bathroom. And that was where the first verse of the lyrics came from.
It all sounds familiar.
Had to go to work, you know, because one thing, I needed more Guinness that night. So had to carry on. And on the journey into work, it started to form into a bit of a poem, and I was quite proud of it, apart from it seemed a very odd title for a song, Mirror in the Bathroom. I was like, so I was almost embarrassed when I told the band, but it fitted a fantastic bass line that David Steele had been playing, and there it was. It just welded itself together, and became our theme song, I suppose, really.
Well, Dave Wakeling, thanks so much for joining us on LiveWire today.
A real pleasure. Thank you for having me. Hope to see you at one of the shows. Come on the bus and have a cuppa.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.